kill.
Oh.
Wait, she programmed.
Okay.
So I grind in the morning and
That's, you're giving us way too much information.
It's not
I'm just kidding. I have to flush the
toilet.
It might be too much information for you.
I have to.
Too much information for me.
I have to flush every morning too. Your son is nice. Let's go to Hebrews 4. There's a Michael.
Hi.
Hebrews
1. Actually, Hebrews 3.
Excuse me, I have to say something. I don't want to, but I have to. I'm uncomfortable in my reaction to Ronnie's request for a ride. And what I'm saying to myself, and I want to say out loud, is if you're asking for a ride because you really need a ride, because your treatment requires it, makes it impossible to take the bus, then I'll be happy to say I'll take you. But if you just want a ride because you don't want to take the bus, then
well, his scheduling doesn't permit him to take the bus because he has to do the draining and then he has to be there. So
if that's the case, then I'll be.
Yeah, that's because he's almost all the time he does take the bus.
Sorry, I'm not trying to be a prick about it, but that's what's bubbling up.
It's you're just fulfilling your office.
What time do you need?
If that were the case, I would have taken the bus.
He's fulfilling his office, Karen.
What time do you have to leave?
About 10.
We'll leave here at 10.
Okay, just come down to the office. I'll
tell you one damn thing. Harry has to fulfill his office.
Well, that's not bad.
It's fine. That's what I want everybody to do. I don't want you to have any.
Oh, and also, I wanted to say that yesterday's exercise in Christian living, I'm serious, was super edifying, abundantly, super abundantly edifying to me.
Okay. I think it was to a lot of people. Why don't you go smack
and
Kevin?
Kiss my ass.
That's an example of Christian living.
But now I don't have to think about it.
Now, the whole point of all this stuff, of why we are in community, is so you say what's there without fear of being thrown out, without fear of separation. Now, you may have some heat, but if you can't do that, then all of the stuff about abandonment of self and taking no thought and just bubbling forth is meaningless. And all the stuff we're about to study this morning is meaningless because you'll spend your life trying to protect yourself and see when you should say what. Now the whole idea, you know when the Bible says you've seared your consciences with a hot iron? That's not talking about other people. That's talking about you and I because we have so governed ourselves with a jillion little governors about how and when and what and where that we become our consciences seared. So we have no discernment. We don't risk anything. We're very safe. and you make the mystery of God of none effect by your own control. Now, nobody believes me, but I love it when there's arguments. Not because I want to win the argument, but because that is what the fire of the Holy Spirit is. So that we think we want an Egyptian religion. We want it nice and clean. We want it not messy. We don't want it confrontational. That's why we love to sit in pews and our backs are, and we only look up at something and we sit in pews and we watch. And it's a stench in the nostrils of God. And our conscience are so seared that we can't even identify what we're feeling. And so we can't bubble forth because, oh, I don't know what to say. It hurt my feelings, but I can't just say that. Yes, you can. Is that clear?
They're not just seared by immorality. They're seared by too much morality.
They're seared by your own definitions or your society's definition of social behavior. You know, I used to drive my mother crazy.
She mentioned that.
Were she alive? You still would?
Everything about our being is dependent on the faithfulness of God. Nothing about our being is dependent on our response and blah blah blah. If we can't risk everything every time, then we are worshiping a toothless God. If our relationship to God is dependent on my politeness, God help me, I'm lost. If my relationship to God is dependent on me acting correctly, God help me, I'm lost. My relationship to God is dependent on only one thing, and that is the resurrection of His Son in us, in me. And that has to be fully believed, fully realized, and fully lived. That's why what the activities that go on in your temple, no matter how sincere they are in exact opposition to the mystery of God described in the Bible. Because everything you have ever learned is the opposite of emptying. So you have to consider it, and dwell over it, and muse upon it. Well, the only reason you do that is to try so that this beast can have some way of still maintaining control. You'll travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you'll make him twice the child of hell that you are. The least studied scripture in the Bible. Because not only were you a child of hell because of the curse, now you're doubling it because you've learned all kinds of other rules of behavior. So you don't labor, you haven't entered into his rest because you don't believe he is sufficient. So you enter into your own temple, the secret rooms of your own temple, and you debate and you fight and you do all these things that are just an abomination unto God. But you do them with impunity because your conscience are seared. Therefore, you think it's fine to do that. You think it's only right to do it. And so you have private revelations, and isn't this sweet, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm eating that. Anybody have any response? Anybody believe me?
No, I do. You know, when you said, you know, fully realize and fully believe, here's my deal sometimes, you know, here with you. It's like, okay, some of us, or maybe me, just me, are not where you're at. And then it's like, you know, you just, it's like, it feels like you're always dumping on us or beating us up or something or whatever. It's like, I get tired of it. Stop doing it. I mean, it's like, I have not fully believed and I have not fully realized. You know, I'd like to say that. I'd love to say that. But, you know, if I'm being honest, then the truth is, I haven't fully believed and I haven't fully realized. And it just feels like sometimes you just, I mean, just abusing us. Abusing me anyway. So that's what I have to say. Sometimes I say stuff that, you know, it's like, okay, I'd love to be there, I'd love to do that, you know, and that's where I want to be at, but I'm not, you know, I don't know how to get there, and, you know, I'm trying and it's not working, I'm failing, and, you know, so I don't know what to do.
You have to hear that he's speaking to himself as the part of the body.
Perhaps he
is. Let me ask you this, Ronnie. How many times do I ever speak like this to you when we're at home? Huh?
Well, you know.
How many times? I do it every morning here. But do I do this when we're together?
I'm just going back what I understand.
Okay.
Do what we do at home, and whatever what we do over here, to me has, you know, means nothing.
All right.
Just write
right.
down in what I understand in my
voice. Okay, then listen carefully what I'm going to say now, and then you can really be upset at me. All right?
All right. I have a response to that, and that really clarifies something, his comment, that the office that you hold, or that I hold and I'm teaching, or anybody, the responsibility is to preach the moment that you brought out many times. It's not about you're going to get better, or you're going to realize someday. I mean, preaching is only, you hit it now. And when you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. It's not his problem, sure.
Okay, now Moses, let's go, we're in Hebrews 3. Listen carefully. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony or for a pattern of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope unto the end. Now, here's the part. Now, that all described this whole Bible and Moses' faithfulness to the pattern that he saw. That's a big deal, because the pattern he saw was a picture of Jesus Christ. Whether it was the feast, whether it was the offerings, whether it was any of the law, it was all fulfilled in Christ. Now, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the wilderness. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, that's what it says. When your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. I promise you, the reason you're not at rest about anything is because you are fighting the Holy Spirit. It's not me. My job is to make it so that you see where you are battling the Holy Spirit. Every time you're trying to improve self, be something, do something, then you're an enemy of the Holy Spirit. And so today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the wilderness. Today, while it is still called today, exhort one another daily. Exhort to what? To behave? I don't give a crap whether you behave or not. I care whether or not you believe. I care whether you con yourself. I care whether you give breath to those things that are corruption. Now, listen to how many times this is mentioned. In verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts. They have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And by definition, you're hardened the instant that you justify yourself internally instead of repenting. Do you see that? But exhort one, that take heed, brethren, lest there be an evil in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware that he, to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's all. For years and years and years, every time something happened, every time there were hassles, and there were many of them. We're living in total peace compared to when we first started. Every time Josiana would pipe up, there's only one problem, you don't believe. There's no other problem, you just don't believe. And she was right. Now listen, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Well, there went a difference in the Old and New Testament. The gospel was preached unto them, just as surely it was unto us. But the gospel was not mixed with faith in them, and unfortunately, it's not normally mixed with faith in us. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he saith, I have sworn in my wrath if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he that spake in a certain place on the seventh day of this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Now, the whole issue of entering into the rest is, it's not just, oh, I'm going to go take a nap. It's entering into a lifestyle of rest, which means that you've entered into the Sabbath, which means that you've entered into Christ. He is your life. The Sabbath is no longer a day of the week. And again, we'll talk, we were out of time again, but we're going to study exactly what the Sabbath meant and how it's clear the Sabbath day is a revelation of Jesus Christ. People have all these arguments whether this. Muslims believe the Sabbath is on Friday. Jews believe it's on Saturday. Christians believe it's on Sunday. But they really don't, because Christians believe that the rest is going to come someday. So we've got to prepare so that the rest can come someday in some future event. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. There remaineth therefore a rest, a Sabbath is what it says. A sabbatina is in Greek. It's just to take in a Greek word, Sabbath. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Well, it's not a remaining rest for some day in the future. It's you're not entering into the rest right now because of your unbelief, your lack of reliance on God and God alone. Now, if I'm not right about this, then we're in big trouble. We have to go build a temple. Cost us about $8 to $10 billion. We have to find the ashes of the red heifer. We have to find the Ark of the Covenant. We have to be like, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark and go get it. We have to find the exact right sacrifices. Oh no, Jesus is coming and he's going to do that. I promise you, if Jesus Christ came today and made a physical appearance on earth, there's no possibility that he could prove he was Messiah. And all he could do would be do tricks. Can you see? That's why it's finished. The Messiah has already come. Don't pay any attention to anything that says that, you know, this mind says, oh, praise God, he came in the flesh. Praise God, he's coming in the future. But the mind cannot say he is coming in the flesh. I lost it. Anybody have any response? Because I'm not going to stop saying this. If you think it's beating you up, then so be it. That's fine. But this is what we were going to study anyway, so. Do you understand that the Sabbath is a revelation of Jesus Christ? It's not a day of the week. That's the pattern. John? Everybody agree with everything I said this morning? Nobody has any. Nobody's fighting in your mind or. I don't care if you are.
If we exist in the Sabbath now, what is the eighth day?
We are in the eighth is always the end, the resurrection. It's like in all cultures, even like in the age of Aquarius, the dawning of the age of Aquarius. the age of Aquarius is the end. It's spiritual.
Wouldn't that be when all those in rest unite, so to speak, come together?
Is it the end of time?
It's the end of time. See, well, it's what we celebrate on. It's the seventh, the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Is, you know, you invite. That's what we're in right now. We always have been. On the eighth day, it's just
the seventh. Rest can be seen in Noah, and Noah just entering into the rest and entering into the ark, closing the door.
That's right. There's not. He didn't have anything to do. He didn't have to feed the animals. He didn't do anything because everything. If you believe the Zohar and all the ancient documents, the Zohar was, which means the light. There was a light in the ark that put all everybody in a state of suspended animation, which is really what we must be in, where we have pushed, we've done, we pushed all of. But the main thing about when we study the Sabbath, you'll see this. The main issue that is to cease on the Sabbath. Is any quote-unquote creative effort. And so that's the whole point about abandoning yourself and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ is a Sabbath in which you cease from creative activity because he is the creative. He is the creature, the creator. He is the logos. He is the Lord. He is everything. And so you've come, some time back it was real big of all of us to say, well, God might exist. That was kind of nice of us. And, oh, well, I accept you, God. Well, that's real nice of you. But it's all... We are partakers of the heavenly calling. That means we are one with. We're not to be one with whenever we hear, when somebody's talking to you, and then you go out and do your own thing. That you stay in the Sabbath. Of course, you can't stay in the Sabbath until you come to the end. So if you got any goodies to do, go do them quickly.
You said a sentence I didn't understand any part of it. You said, if Jesus Christ came in the flesh, there's no way he could prove he's Messiah.
That's right.
Do his tricks. I didn't understand any part of that. I'm sorry.
The reason that the scriptures are so full of what most people think of boring is the genealogies and son of, and the reason. Is so that in order for this book to be true, then the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ after the flesh and the Messiah after our understanding had to fulfill all those prophecies. And the only way they could is because he had to be of the seed of the line of Judah. And it all had to be, okay. If he came in the... There are no more genealogical records. It's gone. And so there would be no way that he could be proven... That he could prove he was of the line of David. That's why the whole concept of what we think about the second coming of Christ, he's not coming back here where he has to prove anything. When he appears this time, time ends because the seventh angel stands and says, "Time is no more," and because he has nothing left to prove. And the only reason that time has existed for the last 2,000 years was as the antagonism to find out whether or not you really believe what you say you believe, and his people believe what they say. If you continue with him in his test, or if you think something's going on with you. If you're the subject of any part of your sentence, you're toast. If you don't believe that, I don't care. But I can prove it in a thousand ways in the Bible. But I would encourage you to try to find out really what you believe. I'm not trying to talk you into anything. But you're by your presence, you seem to want to believe this. What are you smiling about?
Well, that feeling that Ronnie expressed of being picked on. I mean, I'm familiar with that.
Oh.
And it's just, that's one of the best tip-offs there is, that self is resurrected. You're giving place to the devil. Who is it that's being picked on? What is it sticking to? Those are the things to address, not what's the source of the irritation.
Well, it's this whole thing that remember, I mean, I'm not using this to pick on any particular person here, but the idea of ministering to self, self-indulgence, most of that self-indulgence, I mean, a few of you do it outwardly, but most of the self-indulgence is inwardly. And you don't think anybody knows about it. But God knows it, and that's why it's so evil. Self-indulgence is just pure stupidity. Because if you believe your self-indulgence hasn't gotten you anywhere. You can see somebody else doing it, and you think, oh my God, that's terrible or stupid. But you can't see yourself doing it because your conscience has been seared as with a hot iron, and you excuse your own self-indulgence without the ability to. So you have to pray that God will soften your heart. Or as it says, don't harden your heart as it did here. That's what Hebrews 3 and 4 are about. But discernment, you know, discernment isn't any magic trick. It's simply, it's just seeing. Well, they go, oh, I've got a word of God that there's a woman in the audience that has female problems. Well, he's talking to an audience of 7 million people, 700,000 or however many. Oh, there's a problem with phlegm.
Very common problem.
I've got the problem. When you got to understand, when these things were done in the scriptures, they were done in small groups like this, and they were named. And if it wasn't right, the guy wasn't paid attention to anymore.
Didn't he go to New Orleans? It's his fault.
All right. Please. Today, if you'll harden not your heart, today, exhort one another daily. Today, while it is still called today. And the rest isn't a taking a nap. The rest is ceasing from your own labors, so that you've entered into the Sabbath, the life of Christ, and stay there. Otherwise, it's just some crappy religion. Tune in tomorrow, and we'll talk about the Sabbath. Take it, big guy.
Return with us now to those thrilling sessions yesterday.